Welcome to Mid-South Viewpoint, a program expressing ideas and addressing issues from a Christian point of view. Mid-South Viewpoint keeps you up to date on news and events affecting your family and way of life. Be informed and get involved while listening to today's Mid-South Viewpoint.
Welcome, friends, to today's Mid-South Viewpoint. Hi, I'm Byron Tyler. You're in for a treat today. We're going to take you around the world with a global ministry. You know, Mid-South Viewpoint talks about ministry happening a lot in the Memphis and Mid-South area with different pastors and events taking place. But, you know, there's some little nuggets of ministry that's taking place. God's doing some things in a global sense, and it's being directed from ministries right here in Memphis. And today we're going to discover more about Global Ministries Fellowship with folks from this ministry, Richard and Ginger Hamlet, and also Ruth Ann Shelton, who are in the studio today. Rusty Shelton is here too. He's decided to opt off the microphone right now, but who knows, maybe before the program ends, he'll be on too. Now, the Sheltons are dear friends. I have known them for a few years. Matter of fact, you can go back to when I was a junior in high school when I first met Rusty and Ruth Ann Shelton, as they were involved on staff at Bellevue Baptist Church when it was downtown, involved with the youth ministry. And they're dear and special to me, influenced my life greatly in those early years of being a Christian, a new member at Bellevue. And so it's really exciting to have the Sheltons in and to find out about this ministry they're connected with called Global Ministries Fellowship under the direction of Richard Hamlet. Richard, welcome to Mid-South Viewpoint.
Well, thank you, Byron.
We met recently at a missions conference, and I just wanted to get to know what Global Ministries Fellowship is all about. Can you tell us?
Yes, Global Ministries Fellowship is essentially, Byron, a world evangelism agency. We exist solely for the purpose of glorifying God by supporting churches in fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus Christ around the globe.
Now, when you say supporting churches, Richard, what do you mean by that?
Well, our ministry involves several facets. We are actively involved in proclamation in terms of preaching and teaching with crusades and revival meetings. We're actively involved in working with churches from soup to nuts in terms of planning mission trips around the world with the aim of personalizing missions in the membership of our Western evangelical churches. We have over 40 different national partners, most of which are indigenous, in over 31 different countries around the globe that are biblically sound and that are God-honoring, and that we want to connect volunteers from churches in the States over to these projects.
So primarily the work you do is outside the U.S., or do you do stuff here too?
Well, we started in these 5 years since we founded GMF. It's been primarily around the world internationally, and that continues to be our primary focus. But now our domestic initiative within the States is starting to move as God's opening doors to reach the least of the least within different constituencies within the United States.
Okay, you've been in existence for about 5 years now. What were you doing prior to starting Global Ministries Fellowship?
Well, I was a businessman for 15 years, an investment banker, financial advisor, and 10 years ago, I was ordained in the gospel ministry. I pastored a church in Olive Branch, Mississippi, while I was studying at Mid-America Seminary, and then moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and I was the missions pastor at First Baptist Church, Snellville, Georgia, for 2 years. And then moved back to Memphis primarily to set up GMF, Global Ministries Fellowship. God has given me the gift of evangelism. He's called me as an evangelist. And so I believe this ministry platform is what he providentially put together with my business experience as well as the evangelism proclamation to be a multiplier of the gospel.
Ginger, I want to bring you into the conversation. Is Richard talking about being involved with investments and the money world? When he told you that I feel a call to ministry, what did you think?
We had been married for 15 or so years, and I knew the calling on his life, and I wanted to be part of that. I'm his wife, and I saw the love that he had for the Lord and the love that I have for the Lord, and there was no question about it. We were going into the ministry.
Was it difficult leaving something financially secure and kind of certain, and you knew where the money was going to pay the bills, to you didn't really know where it was coming from?
Absolutely. We have 3 children, and they were teenagers at that time, but I knew the Lord was going to provide because he's always provided. We've never been without. The okay. Lord has been so gracious to us.
Wow, that's awesome. Ruth Ann, how did you connect with this ministry?
Well, I started out as Richard's executive assistant, and as the job kind of expanded, my interest was in the children. And it's something I think God called me to back when I was in fourth grade. I was reading a book by Billy Graham. I can't remember the title exactly, but it was something like Break My Heart with the Things That Break the Heart of God.
Wow.
And I saw the little children with their pot bellies and stick legs, and I thought, oh, that's what I want to do someday, is make a difference with these kids. I taught school for a few years, homeschooled my kids for 20 years, and a few other things, but finally, I've ended up where I think God wants me, and I'm really excited to get to do this.
It's kind of neat. You look at the preparation that God does. You know, you look at Moses, Richard, being prepared for 40 years. God had a plan for him, but he had to take him through a desert to prepare him to be ready to take on the ministry that God had called him to. How have you seen that work in your life?
I go back to the scripture many times and have through the years to see examples of God called ministry leaders who went through refining and a period of brokenness in order to be prepared to be a multiplier, a five-talent type gospel person. And I see that in my life. The transition from the investment business and being a very active lay deacon in the Southern Baptist Church and a soul winner for many years, but loving what I was doing in business and doing the best I could, glory of God, and then for God to then to give me a special calling,
right,
to move into more of a vocational role. He had to prepare me, and he had to break me in ways, which he is still doing even today, to depend on him more for every need and to realize that truly biblical stewardship is understanding that everything that we have and everything that we are, by definition, mm-hmm, belongs to God.
What were some specific ways that you see that God was breaking you for this ministry?
Well, for years I had been successful as a hard-charging investment developer and real estate developer, and many things that I did, God blessed in a material sense. And I was able to do a lot and be self-contained and, actually generate resources. And then God showed me one day that one person, even with the most giftedness and natural abilities, is just one person. With the way we proceed in life to real significance and to real productivity is not through addition, but it's through multiplication. And so I actually had to go through, this is not a math quiz, Byron, but I actually had to go through subtraction before God could bring me to the point where he sees that my role now is to be a facilitator, a multiplier, to marshal the human, the technical, the financial resources of churches and individuals and believers so that we can reach this world for Jesus Christ.
Well, I think that's a good point you make, Richard, because obviously the financial investment in ministry is very important. That's what keeps it going. In Christ's ministry with disciples, there was women that did jobs, and I'm sure other people that gave to help that ministry to move forward. We have to have it to go. So let's talk about the conception itself of Global Ministries Fellowship. How did that begin?
Well, I was a mission pastor at First Baptist Church, Snellville, Georgia. God gave me a vision based on Habakkuk 2:14, where the Bible says, through that minor prophet with a major message, the knowledge of the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And as I was actively involved in that mission pastor service there, I began to see the world that Jesus died for in a different way. I began to see those ethnos groups and dialects and nationalities all around the world, especially in the 1040 window, where so many, over a billion, many more than a billion, billion and a half people have never heard the gospel one time. And it became paramount in my heart, at least the conviction from the Lord, that evangelism should go well beyond just in the States, that we have a responsibility to literally take the gospel around the world. And so the mission statement that we set up for Global Ministries Fellowship was simply this: the multiplication of missions, monies, and mentoring around the globe for the glory of God and the eternal welfare of souls.
I've spoken true of a Baptist minister.
And so that's where it came. So we moved back, but literally when we set up Global Ministries Fellowship in March of 2000.
Can we stop one second? Because when you talk about the word break being broken, I saw that you were sharing your story of, as you look around the world, and you saw all these people groups around the world having a need for the Savior. We have to become broken about that too, realizing that there's a world in need.
Well, I think it's a fundamental postulate of being a born-again believer in terms of discipleship. For us to be content with our own salvation that God has given us in His free grace. For us to be even contained within a local domain or culture or community of faith and remain in that without sharing that with those on the outside, I believe is anti-biblical. I believe when we look at the book of Acts and we see the New Testament church, I mean, they were multiplying because they were out proclaiming the gospel through many different venues. They didn't have the technology we have today, Byron, but they used what they could, and we have so much more opportunity today with our technology, the internet, air transportation. We fly around the world in a day, where it took William Carey 6 months to go from England to India on a boat. Right. We have that responsibility and privilege.
Richard, you've talked about the specific call in your life and Ginger's life that started this whole thing, Global Ministries Fellowship. We've talked about what you do to support churches. Let's talk about specific ways that you are involved in reaching people's life. And I also want Ginger to come in because she has actually gone on some of these trips and seen firsthand the lives of people that this ministry is impacting. Talk about the specifics.
Over the last 5 years, we've had over 1,500 short-term volunteers that we've mobilized from over 200 different evangelical churches, cross-denominational, that have gone now to over 31 countries and have been involved in evangelism, discipleship, church planning with nationals, medical missions, disaster relief. Now we're starting economic empowerment venues with some groups in open countries. English is a second language. Basically, we have a broad stroke in terms of our ministry plan, and we just pray that God would bring those volunteers from out of the church who He calls to go on these trips, that we can facilitate and coordinate and connect them with those national believers, indigenous groups that need this type of support to reach their own people.
Friends, are you hearing what Richard's saying? This is big. I mean, it's exciting to hear the things that God is doing through this ministry, Global Ministries Fellowship, and it's starting right here in Memphis. From this is a vantage point to reach out into the world. We're going to take a short break. We want to come back after the break and continue conversation with the folks from Global Ministries Fellowship. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Mid-South Viewpoint. Today we're talking about Global Ministries Fellowship with the director, Richard Hamlet. His wife, Ginger's in the studio with him. Also, Ruth Ann Shelton, who is working with this ministry. Her husband, Rusty, is also close by. Not on microphone right now, but they're good friends of mine. I'm so glad that we could get together and talk about this ministry that's based here in Memphis, that's reaching people around the world. You know, I have been... Matter of fact, I've been with the Sheltons. One of my first mission trips was to the Navajo Indians out in Arizona to work VBS when I was a junior in high school. There's nothing like taking a short-term mission trip. For those listening to us, if you've never taken an opportunity, if your church sponsors a trip to go, say, a week or 2 weeks somewhere, 3 weeks or whatever, I really encourage you to go. And if they don't have that type of opportunity, you're going to find out ways that you can connect with Global Ministries Fellowship before we end the program today. But it's that experience of a identifying with different cultures that can really excite you. And I have done that here with the Navajo. I've done that overseas in Europe, and I've done that in Asia. So I know the feeling and how it can really give you a global perspective of ministry. And just it's really exciting to do that. So, Ginger, you have participated on some of the trips. We were talking about that before we went on microphone. Where all have you been?
Richard and I have been to India. We have been to Honduras. We have been to the Philippines, Romania. God has truly blessed me to be able to go around the world and see men and women of God, because these are our partners that we are able to go and hook up with and do ministry. And God has got His remnant of people around the world.
You know, I just like what you just said. Sometimes we have this concept that the church in America is the church, you know, and we've got to go spread the church of America in all these different countries. But you said partnering with ministries, churches that are already in existence. And I think that's a key thing, because a lot of times when you go, Richard, Ruth Ann, you go connect with these churches, you're blessed and you get lessons learned greater sometimes than what you're able to offer these ministries. Amen. How has that impacted you?
It's changed my life. There's no way that you can go around like we have to over 31 countries in the last 5 years and holding evangelistic outreaches, festivals, pastor conferences, leading these things and being with different ethnic groups, different cultures, open and closed. There's no way you can do that, Byron, and not have God turn you inside out. In knowing this point, that God is no respecter of persons.
You know, I was just talking to a lady who was on our program just recently, Jean Stock, though, matter of fact. She teaches a Bible studies for women. And I called her yesterday. She had a book signing recently that we helped promote, and I just wanted to kind of check and see how that went. And we were talking about expanding ministry in other countries, and she talked about a trip she came from recently in Africa where the people, when they gave the offering, they threw it up in the air, the money up in the air. Of course, you know, we have to pass the plate around here in our churches. So it's neat you get to see how different churches do. Ruth Ann, have you experienced that?
Well, not exactly that. I've been to Taiwan and Scotland, and what impressed me in Taiwan was just the poverty of the people, yet they were so generous, and they treated us as honored guests and just were so gracious to us.
Yeah, it really is neat to see those fellowships and make new friends when you go on these trips. Now, the area that you are kind of concentrating on, Ruth Ann, through Global Ministries Fellowship has to deal with children. Are these orphans? Are they just children that maybe just don't have the same advantages that our kids do here in the States?
Well, actually, Byron, it's both. Our child sponsorship program has been going on for over 20 years. It actually started with one of our partners who's now part of our ministry. And we have orphanages in Albania, Romania, Guatemala, Brazil. We've also contributed to some in Korea and Mozambique. Right now, our main focus is on children that are underprivileged. And when I say underprivileged, we're talking about the poorest of the poor.
And let's stop there for a second. I was just listening to National Public Radio this morning. They were talking about the world economy and how fuel prices are really affecting food prices. And, of course, you and I, Richard, Ginger, Ruth, and we're probably we see a little pinch. But they were talking about the prices of rice has gone up to some 70%. Mm-hmm. And some people in third world countries, when you're just trying to scrape by, that's powerful.
No, I think a lot of people don't realize that over a third of the world's population lives on less than $2 a day. And over half of these are children, and they are living on a dollar or less a day.
Wow. Hmm. Through this program, what's the official title of this sponsorship, adoption, or what do you call it?
Well, we call it GMF Children, and it's sponsorship. And for $25 a month, you can sponsor a child, which helps provide food, clean water, and a lot of places it helps with their education. It provides their school materials, clothes, shoes, and that sort of thing. We're not just a humanitarian organization, but it's an evangelistic tool. And our goal is not just to provide humanitarian relief, but to share the gospel with these children.
Thanks for making that clear, because oftentimes you'll see on television, I'm sure they're doing good work, you'll see organizations that talk about sponsoring children. You hear about their needs for food, and you see the life and conditions they're living in on the video, and of course, your heart really goes out to them. But at the same time, you want to give and help, but you also want to know that there's going to be an opportunity as a believer in Christ that they're going to hear the same message of Christ that you do.
Exactly.
So that's what you guys do, Richard. That's part of it.
That's right.
In my introduction, I was talking about the World Evangelism Agency is a good description of us. Every ministry we do, in terms of whether proclamation or child sponsorship or mobilization, other venues are all centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have a holistic ministry. We don't believe there's any dichotomy between the secular and the spiritual. We believe that through the material means and meeting these physical needs, that God is going to open opportunities for our national partners, who are indigenous soul-winning groups, to make disciples among their people. And so there's gospel fruit that comes from our partners in the States who sponsor children.
And you go back to that statement, they don't, you know, you show how much you really care. They don't want to hear what you know. Do they know that you care? That's been said often. I have some friends that started a child's clothing line. The clothes actually are manufactured in Indonesia. You can think about the sweatshops and taking advantage. But my friends use this as a ministry. They pay their workers above the norm. They also ship in extra food for the families. They provide fans and things that are helpful to these families that work for them. They also help get their Sunday school class involved by taking mission trips in the summertime to be involved. So it's really a neat opportunity. The whole point is that it's more than just, like you said, doing something good for them, but also trying to build that spiritual relationship too. What was it, Ginger, when you've talked about some of these countries you've been to, is any particular experience, somebody that you met or something that over these trips, you've mentioned several of them, it might be hard to kind of mention one, but anything in particular come in mind that blessed you or stood out to you, challenged you?
Absolutely. Richard and I, we went to the Philippines and we walked up into the mountains, into the remote area. There was nothing around and we had a local pastor that was guiding us along, and Richard and the pastor were ahead of me and I was kind of walking behind, and there was a hut made of straw and a woman was coming out with a baby in a diaper, and the baby was just crying, and the mother, Richard and the pastor thought that the mother was coming to them, but she passed them and ran to me and said, "Here, take my baby, take my baby." She wanted me to take her baby to the U.S. She was giving me her baby.
Wow.
And that, I would say, was major impact in my life.
What did you do?
I just hugged her. I didn't know what to do. I did not take the baby. The baby's screaming. The baby doesn't want to come to me. But I just hugged her, and then Richard and the pastor took over.
Well, yeah, and I think you just presented a sad story, realizing that people look to the U.S. as a place of refuge, a place of help, place of prosperity and hope. And what a story. Thanks for sharing that. And I want to make sure before this program time winds down that we let people know how they can personally connect with you, ways they connect with you. Don't want to miss, as Ruth Ann was talking about, the sponsorship for $25 a month. How would folks listening right now that wanted to participate, Ruth Ann, what would they need to do?
Well, the easiest thing to do would be to go to our website. It's www.gmfonline.org. Or gmfchildren.org.
Okay, .org. Uh-huh. Now, there are some folks out there, believe it or not, that are listening who don't even own a computer. They wouldn't even know how to use it if they had it. Is there other ways they could contact you?
Oh, yes. We have phones. Our phone number is 901-684-5556. And my extension is extension 110, but anybody would be happy to talk to them.
Okay, you give them information. And would folks listening, if they wanted to sponsor monthly, if they desire to have a relationship maybe through writing and contacting, is that something that takes place?
Definitely. Now, our children in Honduras will write every 2 months, whether you write to them or not. But we also welcome people to go down there and meet the children.
See, that's what's neat about this. I see how you guys work together now on both sides of this ministry, allowing those who are actually contributing, praying, supporting these children can actually take a trip down and visit these children.
Yes, we encourage that.
You see where your money's going, and I guess that actually helps connect a bond between the two. Mm-hmm. Richard, what are other ways you think that people should consider being a support to Global Ministries Fellowship?
Well, I would just encourage anyone who's listening, who's part of a local church here in the United States, if God presses it on their heart, I'd encourage them to just share with their pastor or the elders about GMF, because we literally exist as a servant of the church, and that's the Big C Church, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, dealing with different types of local assemblies within denominations, all centered around the gospel, the essentials of the gospel. So I'd encourage listeners to pass that information on. We work directly with churches. Some churches support us as part of their ministry budget or through mission offerings. We are, of course, available to do all the things I talked about, mobilization and connect, you know, putting teams together, and we really can cater the mission strategy for a local congregation within what the gifts and the preferences of that congregation are with different parts of the world, because we literally are on every habitable continent in the world in terms of ministry partners.
And that's what's so exciting, because that just happened within 5 years. I mean, this child's just growing.
Yeah, it's an adolescent.
Yeah.
But it's God is growing us.
Friends, if you want more information, you're encouraged to call locally the number 901-684-5556. Do you guys have a newsletter you put out?
We're working on that right now. That's part of moving through adolescence. Yeah. We've had so much assimilation of the ministry growth God's given us now. We are working through that. And Ruth Ann will be involved in that in terms of that newsletter. But on the children specifically, we do
have a children's newsletter, at least biannually. We're aiming for quarterly.
Okay, fantastic. And again, if you want more information, friend, call the number 901-684-5556, or you can visit gmfonline.org. That's gmfonline.org to find out more details about the varied ministries of Global Ministries Fellowship based right here in Memphis. Richard, Ginger, Ruth Ann, Rusty, thank you so much for coming by and sharing your hearts with us today on Mid-South Viewpoint.
Byron, we appreciate this opportunity on behalf of the entire GMF worldwide family. We pray God's greatest blessings upon your ministry here.
Friends, thank you too for listening to today's Mid-South Viewpoint. Our guest again is Richard and Ginger Hamlet, Ruth Ann and Rusty Shelton of Global Ministries Fellowship. Go online, find out more, gmfonline.org. That's all the time for this program. I'm Byron Tyler. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to Mid-South Viewpoint, a program expressing ideas and addressing issues from a Christian point of view. Join us next time as we keep you up to date on the news and events affecting your family and way of life. This has been a public affairs presentation of WCRV.